Good evening to all of you, and thank you very much for joining me and my family on this occasion of the second yahrzeit of my late mother, Alea Shalom, Penina Perel Etel Bas, Alea Pesha V'chano Chenach. I want to begin Poschin Bechvod Achsanya. I want to express gratitude to Congregation Rinat Yisrael, my home shul, and to Faye Landis and to Aaron Friedman, who are the extraordinary heads of our adult ed committee, for giving me this opportunity to share this space with you this evening and for everything that they do for our shul. Bereshus Mara D'Asra, Rabbi Adler, Rabbi Wiener, it is a great privilege to have this time together to reflect a little bit on the life of my late mother and to try to learn some lessons that are directly relevant to us. Want to welcome members of my own family. I didn't have a chance to scroll through the screens. There are, I think, 10 screens. So I'm sure that there are members from my own family who are here. Thank you so much for joining. Members of the Rinat community, thank you so much for joining. And also what I call FOPs, Friends of Penina's, friends of my mom from various places and various cities who are joining us tonight. My mother had a great sense of gratitude to all of you.
The neighborhood.
And the theme tonight is gratitude. And she appreciated all of you. She appreciated certainly members of our family and certainly her friends and also members of the Rinat community. She spent a lot of time here and she very much enjoyed her time here with us in our shul. And so many of you were always so kind and gracious to her, and she was very grateful. In particular, she had a special connection to and great respect for our rabbi, for Rabbi Adler. And so I express gratitude to him for eliciting that gratitude from her to him, and through him, through our shul, its members, and its makom tefillah and makom Torah. What I would like to do is to ask a series of four questions, and then seriata move through the sources and try to come to elicit practical applications of the message of gratitude. This is not a theoretical enterprise. It's not just I feel grateful. I feel a sense of hakarat hatov. But what is it that we can do to incorporate into our own lives the values that my mother embodied and encapsulated in a very, very deep and profound way. Clearly, our family was tremendously grateful to her for the blessings that she gave us. In our own immediate family, we had a Zoom askara earlier this afternoon. It was very special and precious to hear multiple generations express their sense of gratitude to her for what they learned from her. I would like to make sure that you have copies, a copy of the handout for tonight. I see it was just posted. Will Schwartz, thank you, posted it on the chat. It was also posted on what Faye sent out earlier and what our family sent out to whoever asked for it, the link to the Rinat site, and it also came with a link to the sources. So please make sure that you have the sources with you. As you know, my approach is to study together with you, not just to lecture or to teach you. So I want to begin with Mizmor Lasoda, with Psalm 100, which is a psalm of gratitude. It's a Mizmor, a song of thanksgiving. On the top right of the first page, Hariu LaHashem Kol Haaretz, call out, the entire earth should call out to God. Ivdu es Hashem besimcha, we should serve God with joy. Bo lefanav bernana, we should gather before him with song. De'uki Hashem hu Elokim, that God is God. Hu asanu, he made us. Velo anachnu. I'm just going to point out that the velo here is spelled with an aleph. That's a source of contention among a number of texts. Some have velo with a vav. They actually refer to it as a kri and a ksiv, but it's really not a kri and a ksiv because the kri and the ksiv is the same. Velo with an aleph sounds like velo with a vav, so it's really the same. But let's take it the way we have it. He made us and not us. And I want to come back to that, so just flag that for a moment. Amo, we are his nation, Vitzoma Riso, the sheep of his pasture. Bosho, Besoda, we should come into his, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Mizmar Lasoda, Chatzerosav Besihila, and we should enter into his courts with praise. Hodu lo, once again, Hodu, Mizmar Lasoda, Bosho, Besoda, Baruch Hushmo, blessed be his name. Kitov Hashem li olam chasdo, because God's chesed is eternal forever. And his emunah, his faithfulness, is from generation to generation. I want you to also flag the word emunato, his faithfulness. So we have here a chapter in Tehillim, which is recited part of the morning shacharit service on pretty much almost on a daily basis, and is well known and famous because it made its way into the prayer book. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, and the second entry on the first page, there's something particularly special and unique about Mizmor Latoda, about this song of gratitude, this song of thanks, this song of thanksgiving. Mizmor Latoda Yesh La Omro Benegina. It's a very interesting halacha. Shulchan Aruch paskins, in the Shulchan Aruch, we should sing it. Mizmor Latoda Yesh La Omro Benegina. We should recite these words differently than we recite all other words when we daven. Shekol hashirot atidot libatel chutz mi mizmor latoda. Because everything else, all the other songs, are going to be void. They're all going to be nullified. The only one that's going to be left is mizmor latoda. And because it's so special that it's going to last forever, it's going to withstand the test of time. So therefore, we have to express that by singing it. We're going to sing it. It should be said benigina. I don't know any shul that stops shachris, whatever time the shachris is being recited. It says, okay, kinderlach, let's take a break now. Let's take out the musical instruments. We're going to sing tzachinter abishul. We're going to sing mizmor lasoda. We plow through it like we plow through the rest of Sukkot d'Zimra. But by so doing, we violate a explicit ruling in the code of Jewish law. Now, the source of this statement, Shekol Hashirot Atidot Libatel Chutz Mimizmor Lasoda. So the Gaon at the top of page 2, but I just put it there, but he makes a reference to the bottom of page 1, to the Medrash Rabban Parshas Tzav, which you'll see in a moment, is not exactly precisely a source. And frankly, I've not been able to find a source for the formulation of the Shulchan Aruch. All she wrote will be nullified except for Mizmor Litoda. Look at the Medrash Rabbah, Rabbi Pinchas, the bottom of page 1, for Rabbi Levi, for Rabbi Yochanan, b'shem Rabbi Menachem de Galya, le'atid lavo kol ha-korbanot betelin, Korban toda eino batel. So korban toda is unique, is special. And we'll see in a moment, Rashi says that Mizmor Lasoda, this parak in Tehillim, was recited when the korban was being brought. It was recited when the korban was being brought. And so we have now a statement that says all the korbanot will be betelin, except for Korban Toda. So the Mefarshim say, well, that can't be. You know, Korban Tamid is still going to go on. There'll be many Korbanot Tzibur, but we're talking here about individual sacrifices, personal sacrifices. All of them will be eliminated except for Korban Toda. And this, the Gaon at the top of page 2, cites as the source for this striking, unexpected and unusual statement in the Shulchan Aruch that all that she wrote will be nullified except for this one, and therefore this one is so special, and we actually have to sing it. There's something sui generis about this particular mizmor. It's another example. If you look now on page 2 in the second entry, this comes from the Tur. The Tur says, in the context of Mizmor LeDavid and also one other passage that we say in the morning, Lefi, it's underlined, She David Kav'o Le'omro B'chol Yom Lefnei Ha'aron. Once again, there's something very unique and something very special. David HaMelech, Nishmeh Nishveinager, David HaMelech said that this should be said Lefnei Ha'aron. So, I'm not sure exactly what that means. It doesn't mean we all march up in front of the Aron. Maybe it means we open up the Aron Kodesh. Something's going on here that's different than all of the other things, or almost in this case, all of the other things that we say. And so my first question is why? Why is this Mizmor, why does it enjoy a special status? Why does this Mizmor enjoy a special status? This Mizmor is going to hang around until the end of time. This Mizmor should be said Lefnei Ha'aron. Something's going on in the gratitude chapter of the Book of Psalms. Something special is happening here that generates a particular set of rulings which do not apply to other passages, other songs, other sacrifices, other ways of reciting. Something is going on. Question number one, why? Question number two, on the right side in the middle of page 2, I already noted that Rashi on the first pasuk in Mizmor Lesoda. I know there's a lot of Hebrew here, and we're going to be operating and working off of the Hebrew, but I will translate everything so that everyone should be equally comfortable. But I give the Hebrew for those who can operate with the Hebrew and appreciate it and understand it. Mizmor Lesoda, Perek Kuf, in Tehillim Pasuk Aleph, Mizmor Lesoda, a song of gratitude, says Rashi, Lahodoya, for thanksgiving, Laomro al Zivchei Toda. This was recited when the thanksgiving offering was brought. There is a unique halacha, or almost a unique halacha, about the Korban Todah. So if you look on the left-hand side, the pasuk tells us in Vayikra, the beginning of Vayikra, where the Torah is unfolding here and presenting us the various sacrifices that were brought in the Beit HaMikdash, Im al Todah Yakriven, or Perek Zayin, pasuk Yudbeis, and then what follows is a set of rulings that relate to this particular sacrifice. And then in Pasuk Tezvav, Ubisar Zevach Todat Shlamav Biyom Korbano Yeachel, it has to be eaten on the day that it's brought, Lo Yaniach Mimeno Ad Boker. The day that it's brought, and including the night, the following night, but that's it. You don't have more than the end of the night after the day that you brought it in order to be able to consume the totality of the meat of the korban. Now we know that there are a number of korbanot that are brought that the kohen gets a part of the korban. Some of them are totally burnt, and in vast majority of cases, the bailim, the person who brought the korban, also benefits from and eats from the korban. And various korbanot have a sliding scale of how long you're given in order to consume the meat of the korban, after which it becomes something called nosar. Nosar means it's left over, and that's a big problem. It's a big no-no. You can't leave over the meat beyond a particular time. Now, it turns out that the korban todah has a very small window of time in order to be able to consume the entire korban itself. Biyom korbano ye'achel lo yaniach mimenu ad boker. It's only the rest of the day and that night, and that's it. There are other korbanot that have 2 days and a night. Other korbanot, of all the korbanot shlomim this is the one that has the least amount of time that we are given to be able to finish it. And my question is, why? Why is it that of all or most of many of the korbanot, this one in particular, we have to rush up. We have to hurry up. We have a very small amount of time in order to be able to complete the eating of the korban. So the first question is, what makes Mizmor Lesodah so special that we sing it? It'll never go away. The korban todah will last forever. We have to do it lefnei ha'aron. The second question is, why is it that of virtually all the korbanot, the korban todah has such a very narrow, short window of time that we are given, we're allotted to be able to and make sure that we complete eating the sacrifice? Question number three, the bottom of the page. Question number three brings us to an entirely different set of contexts. And this is a Rambam in Hilchos Megillah. This is about the laws of Purim. So the Rambam tells us what we know already from the halachot of Purim. There are a number of mitzvot that we have to perform on Purim. And one of them is Matanos Le'Avyon. As you all know, it's a mitzvah on Purim to give gifts to the poor. It's in the Megillah itself. Mishloach manot ish l're'ehu u'matanot le'evyonim. So the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Megillah, Perek Beis, Halacha Tes Zayin. It's the first of the widest lines. At the end, the big Tet Zayin. I'm going to read it and translate it. V'chayav l'chalek la'aniyim biyom ha'purim. We have an obligation to distribute to poor people on Purim. Ein pachot mishnei aniyim. No less than two matanot le'evyonim in the plural. Notein l'chol echad matana achat. We give one gift to two poor people, one to this poor person and one to this poor person. What do we give? So it's optional. O ma'ot, money, minei tavshil, something that's cooked, o minei ochlin, or something else that they could possibly eat. Okay, very simple, very straightforward, very well known, and very much based in the sources that we have. And then the Rambam continues, "Ve'en medaktik in b'ma'os Purim ela kol haposhed yodo litol notnim lo." We don't ask for a tu'uda. We don't ask for proof of their poverty. We don't ask for a tax return. If somebody says I'm poor, they're eligible, and we don't make a drisha of a chakira, we don't analyze, we give to whoever asks. And then the Rambam concludes, Ve'en mishanin ma'os Purim letzdaka acheres, money that's set aside for the poor people on Purim, that's where it has to go, we can't give it to anywhere else. And then in the Rambam in Hilchos, in Halacha Yud Zayin, adds something. I'm a retchine, as we're talking here about Matanos Le'Evyonim, let me tell you something, adds the Rambam. Mutav la'adam laharbos b'matanos evyonim ilaharbos b'se'udaso u'bishloach manos l'reyav. That a person should spend more money on giving gifts to the poor on Purim than one spends on their own se'uda and on shalach manos. Right? One of the mitzvot on Purim is se'udat Purim. One of the mitzvot on Purim is mishloach mono. Says the Rambam, you're obligated to spend more on matanot le'evyonim, then you're obligated to spend, or you do in fact spend together for yesu'uda and for mishloach mano. Now for yesu'uda, you spend money. You have a meal. You invite people to the meal. There's money. Mishloach mano is money. Matanot le'evyonim, says the Rambam, it has to be more than both combined. There's no great and more exalted joy. The greatest simcha is to gladden the hearts of the poor people, of the orphans, of widows, of geirim, of strangers, of people who are potentially struggling, of people who don't have what other people have. Whoever gladdens the hearts of these unfortunate ones, and he quotes a pasuk. question is, where does this Rambam come from? Where does this halacha come from? Halacha tezayin, the obligation of what it is that I'm supposed to do with matanot le'evyonim, I know. You have to give one to this poor, one to this, at least two poor people. They don't have to prove that they're poor. You can't switch from one to the other. I got that. That comes with, wags a long tail in the sources. But from Vanen to Zarengefallen, Halacha Yud Zayin, where does this come from? And if you look at the Magid Mishnah on the left-hand side, Divrei Rabbeinu Re'uyinei Lav, the Magid Mishnah, normally 14th century, who tries to provide sources for what we find in the Maimonidean code, he just says, you know, it's a past for the Rambam to say this. Divrei Rabbeinu Re'uyinei Lav, it's appropriate for him. What's the source? No source. And it's sharpened. If you look at the top of page 3, in the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo Shulchan Aruch, which normally pretty much verbatim follows the Mishnah Torah, we're talking here about the Sephardi tradition. The Rambam was a Sephardi, Rabbi Yosef Karo is a Sephardi, the Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Shulchan Aruch, follows the Rambam. Segunish min gunish, it's gone. In this halacha, in Tafresh Sadi Dalet, Din Ma'od Purim La'aniyim, he repeats what the Rambam says in halacha Tezayin, and gone is halacha Yudzayin. There's nothing in here in the Shulchan Aruch about you have to spend more money on gifts to the poor than combined your se'uda and mishloach manot. So my third question is, what's the source of the Rambam? What is the makor of the Rambam for the halacha when it comes to matanos le'evyonim? You're being so nice to the unfortunate ones. You have to really lay it out with gusto to spend a lot of money. And now my fourth question, the middle of page 3. The Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu had 12 tribes. And we know that Yaakov Avinu had 4 wives. And one of his wives was Leah. The first wife that he married was Leah. And the Torah tells us that Leah gave birth. And the Torah tells us in Pasuk Lamed Beis and Perek Chavtes, Vatahar Leah Vatele Dein Vatikra Shemo Reuven. Leah has a son, names the son Reuven. Next pasuk. Vatahar Od Vatele Dein Vatikra Shemo. You already know what's coming. Shemo. Vatahar Od Vatele Dein. She has a third son. Alkein Karashmo Levi. She has 3 sons, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Vatahar Od Vateled Bain in verse 35. She has another son. Vatomer Hapa'am Odeat Hashem. This time I'm going to express my gratitude to God. I'm going to thank God. Alkein Karashmo Yehuda. I'm going to call him Yehuda. My fourth question is, why does she wait until her fourth son to say Hapa'am Odeat Hashem? Why didn't she thank God after her first child? I mean, not everybody can have a child. She had a child. So, well, such a bracha. Hapam odeyat Hashem, thank you, God. You gave me a child. Thank you, God, gave me a second child. Oh my God, God, you're so good to me. You gave me 3 children. Thank you. Nope. Doesn't say thank you. Hapam. Odeyat Hashem. Yehuda is the name of the fourth child. Why does she wait until the fourth child to express her gratitude to God? So I want to now review my 4 questions. I think they're actually good questions. I'm going to try to answer them. You'll let me know if you think I did a good job. I'm going to try to answer them. And I'm going to try to extract and extrapolate and elicit practical messages from the life of my mother, Aleha Shalom. Question number one, why is Mizmar Lesoda, this Perek and Tehillim, have a special status that I have to sing it? Reason being, because it's never going to go away. It's going to last forever. Well, why is it going to last forever? Why is the Karban Toda going to last forever? Why does the Torah say that I have to say it Lifnei Ha'aron? The Torah doesn't say I have to say Ashrei Lifnei Ha'aron. Ashrei is a big one. You know, if you have to skip Sukkot Dezember, you don't skip Ashrei. One of the Halalukas, the Torah does not say I have to say it in front of the Aron. Mizmor Lesoda, I have to say Lifnei Ha'aron. Question number one, why? Question number two, why is there such a short and unusually short amount of time that I'm allotted to finish the meat, the bread, everything that goes into the Karban Toda, the sacrifice? Question number three, what's the source of the Rambam? Where does the Rambam get this notion that for Matanos Levyonim, I have to spend more than I spend for my Sa'uda and for Mishloach Manot? And the last question is, why does Leah wait until her fourth child in order to express her gratitude to God? So I want to begin by first posing the question here and attempting to answer these questions. What is gratitude? What does it mean to have gratitude? I drew upon a book that I read a couple of years ago. Here's Show and Tell. Here's the book. It's called Thanks. I gave you the bibliography. Thanks. How Practicing Gratitude Can Make You Happier by Robert Emmons. Robert Emmons is the Rashke Bahag of the world of gratitude in general culture. And in this book called Thanks, right at the beginning on page 4, he writes the following. We're now at the bottom of page 3 on the handout. In my own thinking about gratitude, I found it very helpful to conceive of it in terms of two stages. First, gratitude is the acknowledgement of goodness in one's life. I acknowledge, I'm makir, that there's goodness in my life. In gratitude, we say yes to life. We affirm that all things taken together, life is good and has elements that make it worth living. The acknowledgement that we have received something gratifies us. Once we appreciate and understand that we got something, then that elicits within us to acknowledge the goodness that we get, elicits within us a sense of gratitude. It gratifies us, either by its presence or by the effect the giver went, the effort the giver went into choosing it. That's number one. Acknowledging the bracha. I acknowledge the bracha. Second, gratitude is recognizing that the source or the sources of this goodness lie at least partially outside the self. The object of gratitude, I'm adding here, must be outer directed. One could be grateful to other people. You could be grateful to God. You could be grateful to animals. You can never be grateful to yourself. This is one significant way in which gratitude differs from other emotional dispositions, writes Emmons. A person can be angry at himself, pleased with herself, proud of himself, or feel guilty about doing wrong, but it would be bizarre to say that a person felt grateful to herself. Even if you bought yourself a lavish dinner, as I am inclined to do when I order room service, it would be peculiar if I were to give thanks to myself. Thanks are directed outward to the giver of gifts. Now, this notion that thanks are directed outward, and it's not just that I acknowledge that I received a gift that elicits within me a sense of gratitude, but I acknowledge that I received it from someone else, is a beferisha pachad Yitzchak at the top right of page 4. Those of you who have any connection with Yeshiva University will appreciate L'kayim Mashanemar Torah Mada. Here we have an example of the Mada of Robert Emmons and the Torah of Rav Yitzchak Kuttner in the Pachad Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, one of the great Rosh Yeshiva of this past generation, Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Chaim Berlin, wrote a number of Sfarim called Pachad Yitzchak on various holidays, and this is in the second chapter in the section on Hanukkah. Bebinyan hamilim shel lashon hakodesh nizdamnu lepundak echad shnei musagim. In the Hebrew language, in the construction of words in Hebrew, there are two words, two concepts that coincide, that come together. Number one is haba'at hachzakat tova, dankin. I thank you. I express gratitude to you. And the second one is v'haskama l'da'at hatzad hasheni nachgem. I'm mode to you. I admit to you. I recognize that you're right. They both are hoda'ah. It's remarkable, he says, that these two concepts, namely thank you and I acknowledge that you are right, both of them converge and emerge out of the exact same word. And the word is hoda'ah. And he explains it as follows, and I'll summarize it. When you express gratitude, by definition, you're saying that it's not me. I could not have done this by myself. It's not something that I myself could have achieved. And I need to bring you into the equation. What does it mean when I say that you're right? It means that I am mitzamtzem myself. I recognize that I don't have a total monopoly either on truth or on reality or on anything, but that there's a place for you, and that actually I could benefit from you, and that actually I could learn from you, and that actually you can give me something. There's something humbling here about both of these that at their core bring them together. Gratitude is, there is something in this world for which I'm grateful. Why am I grateful? Because I could not provide it for myself. Gratitude is something that you could provide for me. I bring you into my space. I privilege you in my space. This is what Emmons means when he says, gratitude is recognizing that the source of goodness lies at least partially, I would say maybe fully, outside of myself. I can't be grateful to myself. I can only be grateful to someone else. And according to Rav Huttner, this is reflected in the confluence of the etymology of thank you and you're right. There is space for you. I acknowledge your contribution to my worldview. So if we understand what gratitude is, what is it that triggers gratitude? And here I want to answer the fourth question. The fourth question was, why did Leah wait until her fourth child to express her gratitude to God? Why didn't Leah express her gratitude to God earlier on in the case of her first child or her second child or her third child? Why did she have to wait until her fourth child? And so the Medrash says, the reason is as follows. The Medrash on the top left of page 4. The Medrash says that all the Imahot knew that Yaakov would have 12 children. I don't understand how this is, but as I state in Medrash, they all knew that Yaakov would have 12 children. They knew that there would be 4 of them, which means they made a cheshbon, and they figured out that if there are 4 wives and 12 children, so each wife is going to have 3 children. So therefore, the first 3 children, says the Medrash, that Leah had, she just assumed that she was going to have. This is her lot. She's entitled to have 3 children. It's when she has her 4th child, that's when she says, that's, oh my God, I got more than I expected. I got more maybe than I deserve to have. The first 3 coming to me. That's the deal. 12 divided by 4 is 3. What is it that precipitates gratitude? What is it that inspires or triggers gratitude? When I realize that I have gotten more than I ever expected to get, and when I've gotten more than I perhaps deserve, feel that I deserve to have. I didn't quote you Rashi, but Rashi on this pasuk of Hapam Odes Hashem, it's just a couple of words, I'll read it to you. Hapam Odes Shenatalti Yoter Mechelki. Rashi encapsulates this into three words. I took more than my share. The first three is my share. More than that, that's more than my share. I took more than my share. Me ata yesh li lahodot. Now I say thank you. Why do I say thank you? What motivates me to express gratitude? Yes, gratitude is acknowledging someone else, acknowledging that I myself can't do this, acknowledging that I need someone else to help enhance my life. But I'm motivated to express the gratitude when that person provides me with something more than my share. If I live in a space where I have more than I imagined I would have, if I live in a space where I had more than I feel I deserve to have, there's something special, extra, there's a super gift that's being given to me. That's what motivates gratitude. That's why Leia waited until her fourth child. Now the question is not just, what is gratitude? And the question is not just what inspires or triggers gratitude. But here's what I want to focus on, particularly in memory of my mother, Alea Shalom, to try to extract some practical applications here. And how does one express gratitude? Practically speaking, halacha lemaisa, how do you express gratitude? You say thank you, very nice. Is there anything else? Is there anything else that you could do besides saying thank you? Question I asked, the second question I asked was about the narrow window for a carbon toda. Why is it that a carbon toda has such a narrow window to finish eating? So the Netziv in the Hamek Davar, in the middle of the left side of page 4, says something very interesting. The Netziv Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, second half of the 19th century, the famed Rosh Yeshiva of the Volozhin Yeshiva, great, great communal leader, a great Talmud Chacham, a very prolific author, wrote a great deal of many different kinds of Sfarim, maybe most, if not very well known for his Hamek Davar commentary on the Chumash. On this pasuk in Vayikra Zayin, he says, Umitam Zeh, Riba HaKosov, third line on the middle of the left of page 4. Umitam Zeh, Riba HaKosov Belechem, Umiyet Bizman Achilas Toda Mikol Shlamim, that there's a lot of lechem that we have to eat. Besides the meat, there's also a lot of bread that we have to eat, and limited more than any other carbon shlamim, any one of the other groups of sacrifices in which this falls, shlamim, this one more than any has this, or separate from the others, has this narrow window. Hainu kedesha yihye marbe reyem l'su'uda achat b'yom hakrava. He points out something interesting. The only way it's going to happen is if I invite people to join me. I can't eat all of this by myself. It's not going to happen. Now, in order for this to happen, the halacha is I don't have to eat it myself. I'm the Baal HaKarbon. It just has to get eaten. So the only way this can happen is if I invite other people to join me. In this case, because it has to be eaten in a very short period of time, I have to invite a lot of people to join me, an enormous amount of people to join me. Why do I invite so many people? Why am I forced to invite so many people to join me? So he says, V'yihye sipur hanes lifnei rov anashim. Why am I bringing a carbon totem? So the Gemara says there are a number of scenarios that I go through in order to motivate me to bring a carbon toda, that I had this miracle happen to me. I was in a danger and I got saved from a danger. I was in a danger in the desert. I was in danger on sea. I was sick and I was ill and I was saved. All kinds of dangers that happened to me and a miracle happened. And I thank God I'm going to bring a carbon toda. So the more people who are gathered around to help me eat it, the more people are going to say, hey, JJ, what are you bringing a carbon toda for? What's this all about? Tell us the story. And the more people will hear the story. It's a beautiful thought, but I have a different take. I think the reason why a carbon toda requires us to get more and more and more people to join us to help us eat it is because the way we express gratitude is by what I'm calling, in a very common phrase that is used today, by paying forward. I express gratitude by giving to you. I express gratitude not just for something that happened to me in the past, and I say thank you to the person who gave it to me, because I feel I got more than I deserved, or I feel I got more than I ever expected, so I thank you. That's past. A carbon toda and mizmor lesoda is future-oriented. The ultimate way to express gratitude is in the future. I take the blessings that I got, and I share it. Lamaisa, practically, I feed you. I'm giving you food. I need to invite dozens of people, because the way that I could best live out the message of the Karban Todah is by giving it to you. Here, take, be a part of this. It's not just share the miracle. Yeah, it's important. Let me tell you what happened. God is so great, and God will be considered even greater the more people who heard about this. It's also, come, I'm expressing my gratitude to God by giving you something, by sharing what I have with you, and not just with a few people, but also with many people. Which brings me to the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah. Where does the Rambam come from that a matanos le'evyonim, you have to spend more on gifts to the poor than you spend for yourself, for your meal, and for your buddies, and for mishloach manot ish? Who's mishloach manot? Ish l're'ehu. I'm interpreting re'ehu in a lot of different interpretations of what re'ehu means. I give it to people I know. I don't generally give matan mishloach manot to strangers. More than my own meal, and more than me and my friends, is matanos le'evyonim, is to share with somebody else. It reminds me of the Rambam at the end of page 4. It's a very, very famous Rambam in Hilchos Shvisas Yom Tov, where the Rambam here is talking about Simchas Yom Tov, the joy that we have to feel on the holiday. And the Rambam talks about how this expresses itself. In Halacha Yud Zayin in Perek Vav, there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. We have to have joy on the holiday, on the Shalosh Regalim. And Halacha Yud Ches Ketzad. So the Rambam says that for the little children, we give them nuts and candy. And the women get clothes. And the men get wine and meat. This is based on the Gemara. We'll leave aside the gender differential here. Whatever it is, there's something special that is done depending on who you are. And then the Rambam continues. Kishu ochel visho, say where the arrow is when you eat and drink. Chayav laha'achil leger le'yatom ula'almana im sha'ar ha'aniyam ha'umlalim. It's not just about you, and it's not just about your family, and it's not just about the kids, and it's not just about the spouse, and it's not just about the husband, but it's, you got to bring to your Yom Tov table people who are needy. Avomisha Noel Daltot Chatzero. But if somebody locks the gate of their courtyard, the Ochel Vishote, who Ubana Vishto, and you eat and you have a great time, and you have a wonderful meal. And you don't share. Einzu, this is one of the famous visual images of the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. Einzu simchat mitzvah, ela simchat kreiso. This is called stomach simcha. This is boyach simcha. This is my kishka simcha. That's not simcha. That's not simcha shel mitzvah. It's a greps simcha. That's not a simcha shel mitzvah. You know what a simcha shel mitzvah is? You share it. If you want to be mekayim simchas yom tov, you have to share it. And here again, the question is, what's the source? What's the source for this? Where does this come from? Until now, every single word you could footnote. You could footnote more than one place. Where does this come from? Zok the Hele Magid Mishnah. Look at the Magid Mishnah again. Ukashu Ochel. Chayev Lahachil. Arrow on the left side. Dvarim Elu Mivuarim Bekosov. Vahapsukim Shehevi Rabbeinu Leraya. Ru'uyin Elov Lahaviyam. It's good that it's taka pas that the Rambam should bring this. The Rambam should bring this. What's the source? I don't know. There is no source. There's no Gemara that says anywhere that you must invite strangers who are unfortunate to sit at your yomtiv table. Otherwise, you're gretzing. Otherwise, it's a bayach. Otherwise, that's not called Simchas Yomtiv. That's not Simcha Shel Mitzvah. There's no such Gemara. So my late teacher at the top of page 5, my late teacher, Professor Yitzchak Twersky, who I studied with in graduate school, published an article in 1989 on this halacha in the Rambam and Hilchos Megillah in the Mishneh Torah. And he asks this question, where does it come from? And he answers, there is no source. Who says that the Rambam has to have a source for everything? If you're familiar with the terminology of the Mishneh Torah, you may remember that there are many cases where the Rambam says, Yireh li. Yireh li. Yireh li means it appears to me, which means this is my innovation. He's calling attention. It's like an arrow with a spotlight pointing to this halacha. And I'm telling you that I don't have a source. Yireh li. And Professor Twersky points out that even on occasion, when the Rambam does not say Yireh li, it's also a Maimonidean innovation. Because the Rambam could not conceptualize, says Professor Twersky, of Simcha without paying forward. I can't have Simcha, not on Yom Tov and not on Purim, unless I share what it is that I have with others. Look at Twersky, top of page 5. Having communicated this lofty, ennobling teaching about the spiritualization of rejoicing in Hilchos Yom Tov, namely rejoicing is spiritual. It's spiritual because it's not about my stomach. It's about your stomach. It's about people who need that I can now do something for and share with. And the Rambam also brings in Hilchos Lulav. Maimonides still felt that Purim needed further dramatic emphasis. We may hypothesize that this follows from the fact that the religious character of Purim is so different. It is lacking in intrinsic sanctity in Kedushas Hayom. There's no Kedushas Hayom. The principle of Kedushas Hayom is a da'iraisa. It doesn't apply to Purim. And hence there is a compelling need to put its prescribed rejoicing in perspective. Because there's no intrinsic Kedushas Hayom of Purim, we have to layer onto Purim a particular emphasis on spirituality. In other words, if the special measure of benevolence is the Maimonidean definition of or prescription for joy on major holidays in Hilchos Simchas Yom Tov, which have a clear salient dimension of Kedushas Hayom, then certainly Purim, a day of merrymaking without Kedushas Hayom, needs spirituality and kindness. The greatest joy is gladdening the hearts of the poor. The question is, what's the source of the Rambam? The answer is the Rambam himself had a moral and ethical sensibility which demanded that he insist that if you want to feel joy, you need a share. And I am applying this to the principle of gratitude. If you want to feel gratitude, it's a joy. It's simcha. You feel a sense of joy. You feel a sense, I got something in a million years I never imagined I would have got. I got something because you decided you wanted to give it to me. I didn't deserve it. I couldn't have done it by myself. There's no way that I could have provided this for myself. Out of the kindness of your heart or God's heart, God gave this to me. Someone gave it to me. So what do? I say thank you. Very nice. I say thank you. But that's not enough. It's not enough for me to sit at my Yom Tov meal and say thank you. The only way and the most proper way and the only appropriate way is to pay it forward, is to give to somebody else. That's the source of the Rambam. And that's why, Karban Todah, of all the Karbanos Shlom, it's Karban Todah that has such a narrow window. Because the narrower the window, the more people I need to have, not only to share the miracle, but to be able to share the blessings that God gave me. Oliver Sacks, I'm sure many of you heard the name of Oliver Sacks, a very famous psychologist who dealt with the most unusual cases. He wrote a number of just extraordinarily fascinating books. In 2015, published a book called Gratitude. And it's, I got this book, I read this book. It's a beautiful book. It's a very thin, small book. You see how big the print is. I thought I would die at 41, bottom left, page 5, when I had a bad fall and broke a leg while mountaineering alone. I splinted the leg, he was a doctor, as best I could, and started to lever myself down the mountain clumsily with my arms. In the long hours that followed, he thought he's going to die. He's 41 years old. I was assailed by memories, both good and bad. Most were in a mode of gratitude. What's gratitude? Gratitude at that Tzvei Dinim in gratitude. Gratitude for what I had been given by others. Gratitude, too, that I had been able to give something back. I cannot pretend I am without fear a little later in the book, but my predominant feeling is one of gratitude. I have loved and been loved. I have been given much, and I have given something in return. Gratitude is profound. Gratitude is crucial. Gratitude, a sense of hakar satov, a sense of gratitude, a sense of recognizing that I could not do this by myself. Like Leah, recognizing that sukumpminish, it's not that this is coming to me, it's not that I deserve this. I'm motivated to feel it because it's more than what I deserve. It's more than I could imagine. And the way to express it is by paying forward, is by giving to others. That's what simcha is, and that's what todah is. And because it's so central and so crucial, this to me is the answer to the first question. The answer to what was the first question? Why is Mizmar Lasoda so special that we sing it? We should sing it. We say it in front of the Aron Kodesh. It's never going to go away. Here I think I'm slipping a shtickle on a little thin ice. But to me, it's not even a question. To me, gratitude is so central that it's never going to go away. It's so central. It is a fundamental part of the human experience, and it's something that we necessarily need to do. After I put together the sheets, I found a Levush, Rav Mordechai Yaffe, who lived in the 16th century. He was a contemporary of both Rabbi Yosef Karo and Rav Moshe Isserles, gives an explanation. Amru Razal, kol hashiro sasidot libatel, chutz mi mizmor litoda. Why is it that this is the only one that's going to last? So says the Levush Tcheles, ki chasidav v'tovotav lo yifsaku le'olam, kamoshe ne'emar ki le'olam chasto. If you look back on page 1, on the very last pasuk of this mizmor, ki tov Hashem le'olam chasto, because God's chesed will be forever, and therefore mizmar le'todah will be forever. What does that mean? Because God will always be kind to us, and so our gratitude to God will always be fundamental to our experience. And so we have 4 questions. Question number 1 is, why is it so unique? I think it's so unique because it's breathing. It's breathing. For me to acknowledge someone else in my life and my limitations, what does the pasuk say in Mizmor Lasoda? The pasuk is, Hu asanu, velo anachnu, velo with an aleph. God made us, not us. I couldn't have made me. God made me. I got something that I could not have done by myself. That's Rav Huttner about admitting my limitations. And that's why admitting that you're right and thanking is exactly the same word. Question number one, why is Mizmor Lesoda so special? Because it's breathing, because it's so obvious, because it's so central. Why is there a short window for Korban Toda? Because that's what it means to be grateful. To be grateful means to give forward. It means not just in the past, but gratitude is in the future. What's the source of the Rambam of Matanos Lev Yonim? The same source of the Rambam for Simchas Yom Tov, i.e. no source, i.e. it's a fundamental component of the Maimonidean ethical temperament, that this is how a Jew needs to behave. This is what it means to be a human being and to be a Jew. Question number four, why did Leah wait? She waited because it's only when we really feel that we get more than we should have gotten is when we feel motivated to express gratitude. If I lend you $100 and you give me back the $100, so come here. I say thank you for, you know, not for stiffing me, but I don't feel a sense of gratitude to you. I got back what I deserve to get back. I gave it to you. But if you give me 150, I mean, you're not allowed to give 150. You give me a present. So now, wow, that's a man. I never thought I'd get that. I don't deserve such brachos. And that's gratitude. I want to make 2 points in conclusion. I'm going to make just one final point. And I want to come to my to my mother. I think I saw my sister Miriam is on, so to our mother. I want to talk about our mother. Our mother was a paragon of expressing gratitude. She was always grateful for what she had and the brachos that she had, and she did not only feel it, but she said it. In our family Zoom earlier today, we talked about how she was very verbal in expressing her gratitude to all of those who enhanced her life. And there are so many of you who join me this evening who fall into that category. And she paid it forward. She acted with gratitude. And we in her family pay it forward by trying ourselves to act with gratitude. We have this Rosh HaTevis in our family chat, WWBD. What would Bubby do? So when we come across an event, an experience, so one of the kids, one of the grandkids, primarily the grandchildren, have a story about somebody who they met, and it generally has to do with someone who isn't Jewish, a person of color, someone who's different. And Bubby was so insistent upon expressing the Tzelem Elokim of every single human being, and was so insistent and so successful in inculcating that value to us, not only to her children and not only to her grandchildren, but even to her great-grandchildren. And we think about what Bubby would have done in this situation. And it's always, what nice thing could we say that Bubby would have said? And that's called paying forward. That's all. That's called appreciating what we had. We had a mother. I had a mother more than I could ever imagine. My mother gave me not just my life, but gave me my sense of self when I was a little boy, gave me my identity, gave me a sense of strength. My mother did that for me, and I owe the world to her as a little boy. She was extraordinary, and we miss her terribly. And we try to inculcate the value of expressing our gratitude to her now on this Yahrzeit, and not just expressing it to her backwards, but assuring her that we're going forward. I want to conclude with something I came across this week. In my reading this week, and I didn't put it on the handout because I just found it, I encountered a magazine called Plow. I don't know how many of you are familiar. It's called the Plow Quarterly, Plough. It's a quarterly magazine of ideas and culture. And the current issue has an article by Katrin Keeper called Red is for Remembrance. And I don't know, for some reason I got to this article, I started to read it, and I want to conclude by quoting from this article. The death of someone leaves a hole in the fabric of the world. not simply in terms of what that person meant to others, but in creation itself. There's a moment in Madeleine Longley's An Acceptable Time that has haunted me since I read it. So I went to look this up. This book, An Acceptable Time, is a young adult science fiction novel that was written in 1989 by a woman, Madeleine Longle, L'ENGLE. In this science fiction story, a girl named Polly is grieving the death of her beloved mentor, Max. She asks her grandmother one night about the phrase, what does it mean to live a hole, to leave a hole in someone's life? I guess, quote, the planet is ridden with holes, isn't it? From all the people who've lived and then died, do the holes ever get filled? Her grandmother can only acknowledge the question. Polly's train of thought goes to the people from the past she's been running into. That's part of the science fiction story. Quote, they've been dead maybe 3,000 years. She shuddered involuntarily. What about their holes? Are the holes just always there, waiting to be filled? And her grandmother answers, you've always tended to ask unanswerable questions. I don't know about those holes. All I know is that Max gave you great riches, and we would, all of us, be less than we are if it weren't for those we love and who've loved us who have died. And so I want to conclude this Yahrzeit Shir in memory of my sweetest, most precious, and most beloved mother, to express my and our gratitude to her for what she gave us. And it's 2 years and there's a big hole and the hole doesn't get filled. But we express Hakar Satov for the blessing that we had. And we had it for a very long time. She was almost just a week or two shy of 95 when she passed away. And she was Baruch Hashem, crisp until the end. We thank Hashem in gratitude for the blessings that she gave us. We thank her for the blessings that she gave us, to allow the messages that she had to resonate deeply in future generations. And we pledge to her that we will honor her memory by paying forward in whatever ways that we can. Each of us and all of you who knew her, and so many of you had loved her and such respect for her and appreciation for her, to pay forward so much of the blessings and the lessons that we learned from her. Aisha Paraletl, Penina Paraletl, Bas, Leah Pesha V'chanochenach, Tehei Nishmasat Zruah B'tzor HaChayim. Her memory should be bound up in the bound of eternal life. And we should all have only joy and happiness and good health in our families. And please God be able to greet one another close up with good health and nachas and simcha. Have a good evening. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.